So my favorite place for the crazy impulse purchases, I think, has to be Excalibur.
What do they got there?
You can like buy a full set of armor or like a broadsword. Excalibur seems like one of these places that they built when they were trying to make Vegas like Disneyland, and it was supposed to be kid friendly.
Right.
Yeah, and they threw the Thunder from Down Under in there. It's like the weirdest hotel for them to be at.
How would you know that?
They put on a good show. It's just like an hour and a half of belly slappers and windmills.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to Dave, episode 4. This week, comedy great Dave Foley.
We are the Daves, he knows, he knows. We are the Daves, he knows.
These are the Daves, I know, I know.
We are the Daves, he knows.
You know, these are the Daves.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Dave. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
Welcome. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Whew. After what we were just talking about.
Oh, dude, we were all over the map.
You know I'm using that for the opener for the show.
Oh, you got to.
I don't even know where to go from there. Anything happened to you this past week?
Yeah, man, I got stuck with a dog for a day.
How'd you get stuck with a dog?
My boss found a dog just cruising in the streets in San Bernardino and didn't want it to get hit by a car. It was like a little Chihuahua puppy. Aww. So he picked it up and he took it to a school and was like, go watch this dog for a minute, called me and was like, swing by this school and pick up this dog, take it to the shelter. So I did that. Picked up the dog from the school. Funny thing, as I walk into the school, huge sign in the front, no dogs allowed. Walk into the front office, all the secretaries are just playing with the dog and just loving this adorable puppy.
Yeah.
So I take the dog to the shelter, and I don't have a driver's license on me. I haven't gotten a replacement one since I had a fiasco in Mexico. Okay. But they wouldn't take the dog without ID. It's like, all right, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, I don't know, good luck. Good luck with your dog. So I called the boss man. He's like, all right, take it to my house. No problem. I took it to his house. His dogs attacked it immediately. So it was like,
aww.
All right, I guess, you know, at that point, it's like 5 o'clock. I guess I'm dog sitting for the day. So a dog for a day.
You know what, man? A dog in your life for a day is a good thing.
It is. One day is perfect. It's. They should allow that. Rent a puppy. Dude, that's a great idea.
They have that.
No way.
Well, it's not necessarily rent a puppy, but they've started opening puppy cafes in LA, which, by the way, is another one of my brilliant ideas that I didn't jump on fast enough. But they have puppy cafes where you have your coffee house connected to a little, what do you call it? Pet adoption, and they have puppies, and they have the big giant window, and it's kind of connected somehow.
That's brilliant. That's so like they, yeah. That's taking that, you know, every record store, it seems like, has a cat that just lives at the record store. That's like taking that idea to the next level. Like, oh, you like the cat? Well, you can have the cat.
Yeah, well, it's building on the idea, because in Japan, I think they have, like, Japan, they have all kinds of crazy cafes. They have, like, owl cafes, raccoon cafes, like just all weird kind of tiny baby pet animal cafes where you just go and you get to see these little tiny baby animals.
Shout out to the Raccoon Cafe podcast. Have you heard it? It's fantastic. The Raccoon Cafe podcast is just those two raccoons from The Great Outdoors.
Oh. The whole show is just...
Yeah, it's video only. If you can't read the subtitles, it's going to make no sense.
Yeah, that's a tough podcast to get through. You got to definitely got to watch that one on YouTube.
They just had the groundhog from Groundhog Day on there.
Oh, did they?
See, I love that these ideas from Japan that are being adopted here, because eventually, like, somebody's just going to have a shitty bar that's infested with cockroaches and change the name to the Cockroach Cafe. Cockroach Cafe sounds like a Clash song or something, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. So I went to Vegas this past week, and I went out there because I don't know if people of this show know that I have another podcast called Faces and Aces Las Vegas. And so every so often I have to go out there to record interviews with the locals of Vegas.
Hookers.
I wasn't able to find a hooker this. I didn't actually go look for a hooker because one of the stories that I have is about a hooker. And so I said, I need to go find a hooker to interview to pair with this story that I have.
And ooh, tough break to the wife. Just like, look, I mean, I just got to talk to the hooker for the podcast.
I told my wife, if you get a call and I'm arrested for solicitation, it's not what you think. I swear to God, it's not what you think.
You're going to need to get Google glasses and wear those and like just to have evidence, just like it was totally above board, officer.
I swear to God, it was for a podcast. I got up at 2 a.m. and I was just too tired. I just said, forget it. I'll catch it on the next trip I come out. But I did have a pleasant interview with Heather, who is a former... Oh, this is... Okay, actually, Heather is really awesome. She used to deal at many different Vegas casinos, and now she has online classes that teach people how to deal, and it's for free. She gives away the information for free, so that way, if you want a Vegas job dealing in a casino, you could watch her tutorial videos, and that'll give you a little bit of a leg up over your competition. And her website is vegas-aces.com. Okay, so
yeah, you had her on the show a couple weeks back, right?
Yeah,
I remember her episode. It was great.
She's awesome, and so many people said she's so cool, please have her on again. So I reached out to her again, and we sat down and recorded another interview, and we did it at a coffee house in the upstairs area where they have some business offices, and we were in the common room area recording our interview. We were about 15 minutes from being done, and a guy came out of the elevator, a homeless guy, and went into the bathroom. And he was there for like a good 10 minutes. And we hear him rustling around. We're still recording our interview. And we hear him rustling around. And he comes back out. And he says, could you help me out with some money? And I look at the guy and I said, buddy, I don't give money, but I would be more than happy to buy you a meal. We're about 10 minutes out from being done. Can you give us 10 minutes? And then we'll go downstairs and we'll grab a bite to eat. And he says, no, I've already eaten. I don't need that. I need money. Can you give me some money? I said, sorry, pal, I can't help you. And he looks over at Heather and says, can you give me some money? She says, I don't have any money on me. I leave all my money in the car. And so he's like, I just need some money because I need some new clothes. I tried to wash this shirt in the bathroom and I have it, you know, I want to get myself looking respectable because I want to get a job. And I just need to go buy a shirt. So I said, buddy, okay, tell you what, we're done in 10 minutes. We'll go down to Fremont Street. We'll go buy you a shirt. And he says, no, man, it's, you know, nothing's open right now. You know, it's Sunday. Nothing's going to be open. I'm like, are you kidding? You go into any gift shop in any casino, they're going to have a shirt. And he says, no, man. And he looks at me, he goes, you got a nice shirt. Can I have that?
Whoa.
So I unbutton my shirt and I'm like, buddy, you can have my shirt. If this will help you get a job, sure. So I take off my shirt, hand him my shirt. He's like, thank you so much. Thank you. And he puts it on and he walks out. Okay. So we finished the interview. You know, Heather and I hang out for a little bit. I say goodbye to her. I go back to my hotel room, grab a new shirt, and head back out for the evening's activities. I go back to downtown Las Vegas, and as I'm driving to the parking lot, I see the guy handcuffed, head down on the hood of a police car, and he's getting arrested. And he's wearing my shirt.
Oh my God.
And so in my mind, what's going through my mind is like, I was wearing that shirt all day out in the Las Vegas heat. I've sweated all over the inside of the collar. My DNA is all over that shirt. What did this guy do?
Oh no.
So I go park my car. I go over to where he's being arrested, and I, you know, to the officers, I say, guys, hey, how you doing? And they're like, hey, good evening. And I said, guys,
this is going to sound a little weird.
I said, what did this guy do? And he goes, he was jaywalking. And I like looked at the cop, and the cop smiles, and I go, no, okay, seriously, what did this guy do? The cop says, well, we can't tell you. I said, yeah, but okay, mind you, now the shirt that I changed into is also another plaid shirt, very similar color to the one I gave him. And so I look at the cop, I said, this guy's wearing my shirt. And the cop looks at my shirt, looks at his shirt, and he just goes, "Oh yeah, he is."
Oh my God.
I'm like, no, you're not understanding me. I literally gave this guy my shirt like 2-3 hours back. I have sweat DNA. And what did he do? Like, am I going to get, like, did he murder somebody and they're going to come looking for me because this guy did it? And the cop, like, he puts two and two together. He's like, "Oh, I see where you're coming from. No, man, you're good. How many of those shirts do you have?" I just look back at the cop, like, "Hey, man, I like what I like. What can I say?" But am I good? Am I cool? Like, there's no concern. He was like, "No, he's narcotics. He's known for causing problems in this neighborhood. Yeah, he's going to go away for a long time. You're good." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Just had to check."
Oh my God, man. So you just have the Charlie Brown closet. It's just the same shirt, the same pair of pants. It's just like a dispenser. You just peel one off.
I just have a Kleenex box full of that shirt, and I just pull one out when I need a new one.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
But what are the odds that I'm going to run across the same guy a few hours later?
I know, in Las Vegas, where it's just, like, epic.
Yeah, and then I just happened to turn down the right street at the right time, and there he is on the hood of a police car. It's like, man.
And his name was Dave. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's my Las Vegas adventure. A bunch of other stuff happened too, but I talked about it on the other show. No need to bring it up here.
I'm just curious. I think like if you're, I mean, this guy was probably like a drug addict or whatever, but I think Vegas has got to be like a great city to be a bum in, right?
I mean, there's going to be plenty of food. Like, and food is not a problem.
And there's plenty of super drunk people just like feeling generous with their money. I mean, somebody wins $1,000 and they're drunk cruising around like, "Hey man, got any money?" Like, I'm sure somebody would toss them a 20 or something, or chips, you know. With chips, you never know how much you really have sometimes, especially when you're up.
Yeah.
You're just like, here, have a green one.
All right, let's move off of homeless talk. This is just too sad.
Dude, bum talk, that would be, I mean, I would listen to a show that was just two bums talking about their day. Just like, "Yeah, this sucker gave me $20. Or the dude that's just like, "This dude, he gave me a shirt, man."
This dumbass dude gave me a shirt.
I heard a rumor that's how Keith Richard does his clothes shopping. I heard that he doesn't go to stores. If he's just out in the streets and he sees a shirt he likes, he'll just like, "Hey, how much for your shirt?" You know, it's like, "I don't know. I like my shirt." He'd be like, "How about $400? Like, "Oh, here's your shirt, Mr. Richard." I don't know how true that is or if it's just a story, but I'd like to believe that it's true. And one day I'll meet Keith Richards and be like, "I like your shoes."
I'm believing that story. I don't care what anybody says. I'm believing that story moving forward.
Yeah, it's one of those things you want to believe. It's just fun to think about.
You know, and speaking of believing things, I have some corrections that we need to do from previous episodes.
Uh-oh, what'd we do?
Okay. I got two of them. You're on one of them.
Uh-oh.
So, last episode, we had a fun little run with...
let's call this segment Sorry, Dave.
Well, this one is a Sorry, Frank. You called him Frank Langella. It is Frank Langella.
It is Langella. Oh, I could have sworn it was Langella.
It is. I looked it up after we finished the show, and I was like, okay, whatever. When you were saying it, it could go either way. It either sounds like Langella. It was very quick, but worth pointing out, and I had to drag you down with me because I'm going down for two.
There's always room for Langella.
That did cross my mind.
I wonder if that's why I screwed that up in my head.
Yeah. So the first thing that I go down for is the John Boehner discussion that we had about him appearing on the White House video with Obama saying, when you're done with your term, you're going to skip through these halls singing zippity doo-dah. That actually has context.
Oh, does it?
It does. What happened was when he retired, when he was giving the announcement to the press, he was walking up to the microphones singing zippity doo-dah, and he got raked over the coals for it in the media. And so his joke was a callback to his mistake and his being tortured in the media.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. So the joke had a reference point, but if you're not a media wonk, you probably didn't understand it.
No. Yeah, that makes it a funnier bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it probably played to the room well, right? Like the right.
Yeah, to the White House media corps. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it was a joke meant for the room, and I got it out of context, and I flipped the fuck out when I saw it, and now I'm a little bit embarrassed that I flipped the fuck out. So there's that. And the other part is going back two episodes to the Bowie episode, and I was adamant that David Bowie was not gay, that he never dabbled with men. You said that he had a little thing with Mick Jagger that his wife Angie walked in on after they were done. I couldn't confirm that story, but I did do a little more research, and Rodney Bingenheimer confirms that he dabbled with men.
Huh.
And I will take Rodney's word because he is the mayor of Sunset Strip. He knows the 70s glam rock era like the back of his old wrinkled hand.
I mean, for me, I just think like, yeah, all right. I mean, I've heard rumors about John Lennon and all sorts of different people. There's a whole documentary that's just trying to out John Lennon. And, you know, I listen to it and it's like, yeah, maybe. I mean, it doesn't affect it either way. I just think like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter either way to me, but I just wanted to make sure that the information that we're giving out on this show is somewhat accurate.
Yeah. Well, just everybody watch that Dancing in the Streets video, and you will watch two men just like wanting it from each other.
Yeah, and Rodney's quote was, "It wasn't exactly a secret. They weren't trying to hide anything." So, even though they stopped talking about it at some point, you know, Rodney kind of confirmed it. So, and Rodney's the guy. Rodney has a radio show that's been on here in Los Angeles for over 30 years called Rodney on the Rock. And so he is pretty much the music, LA music historian. So he would know, of all people.
Yeah, and he's got a fantastic documentary out about him.
Mayor of Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I should, being a Las Vegas or being a Los Angeles native.
So. Yeah.
All right. Should we get into the news?
Yeah, let's do some Dave news. I got a couple.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave. That's his name, Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
First one's a little bit sad. This is from the Star Tribune. Famous Dave's posts another unsatisfactory quarter. Famous Dave's is a barbecue joint. It's a chain restaurant. They posted a yet another bleak quarter Monday as sales continued to sink at the embattled barbecue chain. It's Minnetonka-based. It's been in a free fall since a botched makeover early last year. I disagree with the term botched makeover. I think it's a fine establishment. Have you been to a Famous Dave's?
I haven't, no.
They're great. It's really good food. Their same store sales at their restaurants fell 7.7% in a year, which is that's pretty rough. But yeah. I've encountered a lot of people that just haven't tried it out. Famous Dave's is good.
We got to do an episode from a Famous Dave's.
Dude, I would love to. I love that place. It was one of those things where I saw one once in Redlands, and I was just like, hey, look. A barbecue place, let me eat here, and then learned it was a chain. I think it's a good place. I hope they don't go under, because, I mean, I know a lot of people are anti-chain restaurants, but I love chain restaurants, and I love fast food, and Famous Dave's is all right. Everybody should go eat at a Famous Dave's.
Man, they're not going under if we have anything to say about it.
No, not at all. Let's call them up and just be like, you know what? You got to get into podcast sponsorship. That's going to get asses in the seats, Dave.
All right. My news story comes from the New York Daily News. Hamilton may be making history on Broadway, but Larry David, for one, is curbing his enthusiasm. I hate writing like that.
So do I.
So the story is Larry David was on the Mike Lupitka show, and he expressed a theory about why Hamilton is so hot right now. And he said, Hamilton, it was pretty amazing, but I have a feeling there are a lot of white people who are saying they're completely blown away, even though they really didn't understand half the things the people said on stage.
Wow.
He goes on to say they just want to solidify their liberal bona fides and show how cool they are.
Wow.
That was Larry David.
That's,
so
that's a hell of a response.
He's turning into his Curb Your Enthusiasm character. He's just getting grumpy and
dude, like, way to turn like a softball question into something weird and political, right?
The answer is yes, I enjoyed it a lot. It was great.
Yeah, you don't need, that's so bizarre. Hey Larry, what's your favorite pudding flavor? You know, vanilla, but let me tell you about these whites. You know, like, it's just so bizarre to take it there.
You know, these white people, they eat the chocolate pudding like they think it's going to make them cool.
Dude, that is such a bizarre response.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate him for it or anything. It's just weird to take it there. He really is becoming his character.
Yeah, just this curmudgeon.
I'm imagining him now just like watching the footage of him saying that and just like, stupid, what was I thinking? Just having like a real George Costanza moment. Like, how do I fix this?
So you want to go to your next one?
So my other news story comes from Rolling Stone, and this just cracked me up for some reason. Lionel Richie and Dave Grohl bond over muffins. Foo Fighters singer shares a story about a surprise gift he received from Richie after breaking his legs. Lionel Richie recently sat down with Dave Grohl for a SiriusXM town hall interview from Las Vegas' Planet Hollywood, home of Lionel Richie's All the Hits residency. And I guess they just sat down and had a chat together, and Dave Grohl talked about the time Lionel Richie sent him a basket of muffins. He says, I'm telling you, it was the biggest muffin basket I've ever seen. I just thought that was neat. Lionel Richie seems to be an all right dude.
Yeah, and especially considering that Lionel Richie and Dave Grohl weren't necessarily tight before. And what was it the other? It was, wait, Lionel Richie broke his legs. Wait, who sent who what?
Lionel Richie sent muffins to Dave Grohl after Dave Grohl broke his leg at that concert a while back.
Right, because Lionel Richie had broken his leg before and he knew what that was like.
Oh, really?
I think that was the story. I did read the same story. It caught my eye because it had Las Vegas in it. But I remember Dave Grohl saying something to the effect of, like, it was one of the nicest things out of the blue that someone's done for me. So, you know, let's be friends.
Yeah, I thought it was a thing where they were going to share the bill at Glastonbury. I should have noted it. I think that was the deal. They were both going to play Glastonbury.
Oh, was that
and,
it?
And Lionel Richie sent the muffins because he was like, oh, bummer, we don't get to hang out together.
Oh, although muffins is weird.
It is weird, but I guess during the town hall, Dave Grohl brought out a surprise giant muffin basket for Lionel Richie.
Wait, now, was it a giant muffin basket?
No, it was just
a giant muffin. Okay.
Just a basket filled with muffins. But
it would have been great if it was a basket with just one really big-ass muffin.
Yeah, just like an Uncle Buck pancake, but the muffin version. And just Oompa Loompas wheeling out a muffin on its side.
Because you know that's where Oompa Loompas live, Las Vegas.
Dude, the thing in Willy Wonka is nobody brings up the fact that, like, the Oompa Loompas, apparently amazing chocolatiers, right? But their real skill is improvisational music, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so down with you on that, yeah.
They work in the, like, gruesome method of, like, disfigurement that the kid went through and, like, parts about the kid's personalities. Those Oompa Loompas were paying attention. They're like, that one's a brat. This kid watches too much TV. Like, they had to be, like, peeping on them, maybe from, like, the security center, taking notes so they knew when the kid got, you know, when Augustus Gloop got stuck in there. They're like, all right, what do we got for Fatso? And just, like, a five-second meeting and, like, go, improv a song. I don't like the look of it.
So the last news story I have comes from the AV Club, and if you're not familiar with the AV Club is, it's an entertainment website that features reviews of films, music, television, books, all that kind of stuff, basically pop culture. And they have a music web series called AV Undercover, and every year they make a list of songs and invite artists to come over to the AV Club and perform that song. And then once that song is performed, they take it off the list so future guests have slimmer pickings to choose from. They just started season 7 of AV Undercover, and their first guest, Eric Bachman, formerly of Crooked Fingers, he picked off the list David Bowie's Heroes. And they knew that any David Bowie song on this year's list would go fast, so that was the first one. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool, and I listened to it. It's a decent cover, but I just thought it was kind of cool, some of the older covers that they've done, and some of the artists who have been there. Are you familiar with Trouble Hubble?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a band called... like they basically pick a lot of up-and-coming indie artists, and they have them cover familiar songs in the
It's a cool series. I've seen some awesome stuff on there. I think my favorite is they had Gwar come on and do something once.
Funny you should say that.
No way.
Guess what I prepared? Well, just they've had Troubled Hubble covering Howard Jones's "Things Can Only Get Better," and it's such an 80s pop synth song, but they do it with guitars and they make it that song sound really cool. So just to give you a little idea of what they do there, I'm going to play a couple snippets for you.
What's the Gwar?
Gwar did a cover of the Pet Shop Boys' West End Girls.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking about. It's so great.
But just so the listener has an idea, here's a little bit of Gwar.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand and it's pointed at your head. You think you're mad, you're too unstable. Kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant, a western town. Call the police, there's a madman around. Going down, underground to a dive bar in a western town.
That is tremendous.
Hearing someone sing those lyrics that way, it takes on a completely different meaning.
That band is just so good.
Yeah. Here's just so you can hear a little bit of it. Here's Things Can Only Get Better.
A thousand skeptic hands won't keep us from the things we plan, unless we're clinging to the things we prize.
Like, that's cool, right?
That's great. I would be the last guy to pick a Bowie song, though. You know, because it seems like you've got so much more to live up to. You cover the Pet Shop Boys, and it's like, you can only go up from that. You know, it's kind of, no knock on those guys, but it's kind of like a dated 80s song. You can do something neat with it. Bowie, right now especially, it's such a rough time to try and do something with that.
Yeah, but there are so few good Bowie covers, because whenever someone covers it, they just mimic what he did. And that's the one criticism that I have with the Bowie cover of Heroes. I've heard, you know, a couple versions of Heroes, and they all sound like weaker versions of Bowie's.
Do you remember the 9/11 concert one with the Casio keyboard?
No.
He just came out and was sitting on the stage like Indian style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yes.
That was such a weird choice for him.
Yeah.
It was kind of powerful, though. Just like, here's David Bowie, the guy who's usually got this big production, and he's just chilling in front of us.
Yeah.
With a like $12 keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great web series.
Yeah. So if you want to hear some really cool covers, go check that out.
Hey, guys. I'm Adrian.
And I'm His Issues.
Wait, what?
Hey, guys, I'm Adrian.
And I'm... Wait, that's not right. Hey, guys, I'm Adrian.
And I'm Eileen.
Tune in to the Adrian Has Issues podcast. Each week we chat with some great people.
Including me from time to time.
Comic book creators, comedians.
Musicians and actors.
Tax collectors, Zamboni drivers.
Point is, basically anyone willing to sit down for a geeky discussion or two on all things pop culture.
Visit adrianhasissues.com where you can download and stream every episode.
Especially the ones featuring yours truly.
Visit Adrian Has Issues on Facebook and Twitter.
And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and review and tell me how amazing I am. Us.
I'm McKinney. You're way cooler than I am anyway.
Aw, thanks, babe. Oh, and Adrian Has Issues is also a proud member of the Tangent Bound Podcast Network.
Awesome. Nice save, Brodor. Visit adrianhasissues.com.
All right. Geek Yoga Podcast. Yeah, I'm Wade.
We're doing a promo.
Oh, shit.
Hi, everybody. This is Knock.
I'm Wave. Rah-rah.
And listen to us on the Geek Yoga Podcast every Wednesday.
Yeah. Facebook?
Yes, you Facebook. Can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/geekyogurtpodcast and on Twitter at yogurtpodcast.
Spaghetti!
Just yogurt podcast.
Yes, at okay. yogurt podcast.
At yogurt podcast. Yay. I got nothing. I don't know what you want from me.
I wanted to cut a damn promo.
Well, fuck you then.
All right, so that'll wrap up the Dave news. Let's go into our featured Dave.
I'm stoked for this week's Dave.
Me too. We got such a solid Dave this week. We're covering Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall, from News Radio, from A Bug's Life, from Dr. Ken, from so many different places. You know you've seen him.
One of the things that I was most excited to see when I was looking up stuff about Dave Foley is he did a Batman.
He did a Batman?
Yeah. Really? No, he did the Batman cartoon, the one with the theme song by The Edge, the 2007 series.
The Batman, got it, okay.
The Batman, yeah, he was Francis Gray. He's done everything, though. I mean, you look through his IMDb, it's like anything that's been a show in the last 20 years, he probably did an episode.
Yeah, there was a period between News Radio and Dr. Ken when he was just kind of... everywhere. He was guest starring on a whole bunch of shows.
Just one shots on stuff, and I mean animated stuff, VO work. He's in Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, he did voiceover work for that too?
Yeah, he plays the Yes Man, which is sort of this, I like the Fallout series, but the Yes Man is sort of this like happy robot, and I had no idea, I didn't put it together in my head that was him playing through that game.
Huh. I'm not a gamer and I've never played it, but that's cool regardless.
Yeah, I'm not a huge gamer either. It just seems like maybe once a year I'll let a game just totally immerse me for like a week, and then it's just like, "Ooh, I came out of that like back to life, back to getting stuff done."
Yeah.
Just the weirdest credits. Dude, South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut. He's the Baldwin brothers.
You know, we're starting in the middle. Let's take it from the beginning. Let's go back to a young David Foley, born in Ontario in 1963. His father was a steam fitter. His mother was a homemaker. And that's where our Dave Foley got started.
Well, I've heard that... I actually heard it from Scott Thompson, another kid. But I was watching just some Kids in the Hall interview stuff. Mm-hmm. And Scott Thompson was saying that he was like, "I'm not even the funniest person in my family. My brothers are way funnier than me, but I'm more damaged, and that's why I'm a comedian."
Well, he had it rough growing up, Dave Foley. His dad had, oh boy, I wish I paid more attention while I was watching some of these documentaries, but his dad had issues, and so Dave Foley was constantly performing for him, you know, to get his attention. And so that's kind of how he drifted into becoming a performer.
That's a tough one, dude. Cheer up, yeah. Dad. You know? You imagine being six and it's just like, "Dad's depressed. Gotta come up with a bit." There's a few people with stories like that, and it's just heartbreaking to think about.
Yeah. But, I mean, it led him into being a performer, and he started doing stand-up, I think, when he was, like, around 18.
Yeah, he was the youngest kid. I think I read someplace that he started writing. He wrote stand-up material for, like, a school paper. They were, like, a school creative writing project.
Yeah.
He just showed up with stand-up material, and they're like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he won some kind of award or some sort of contest from that, and then he went to Los Angeles to perform in a comedy competition, and that really got him started, and then he came back to Canada and joined Second City over in Toronto, and that's where he met Kevin McDonald.
Yeah, and I didn't know before doing research for this that he was the youngest kid.
Yeah, so he met Kevin McDonald, and they apparently hit it off right away, and they became partners in that improv group, and they started doing improv around the city, and there was another group in a nearby city that was doing similar improv style comedy that they were doing, And that was Mark McKinney and Bruce McCullough, the other two other members of Kids in the Hall.
Right. Weren't they in the they were in a group called The Audience, I think.
I don't remember.
I think so, because their whole bit was like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the audience, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then I think when they came together, they decided to ditch it because it sounded pretentious. I think it's interesting with most of these, you know, improv troupes or sketch comedy troupes, you'll find that it usually started off as like two or three groups that kind of came together.
Which is what happened with Kids in the Hall. Those two groups merged, and they found Scott Thompson along the way, and he joined the group, and kind of became this local phenom, and then slowly but surely people from all over Canada started coming to see him because they had the hottest show. Just one little kind of interesting fact, back in the days before they had the TV show, they had a whole bunch of people kind of come in and out of the group. I had no idea Harlan Williams and Mike Myers at some point performed with these guys.
I think of Mike Myers as kind of like, Mike Myers is, let's SAT question this. Mike Myers is to the Kids in the Hall what Kylie Minogue is to the Wiggles, right? Like, she said she was a pink Wiggle. She did one song, but she's not really part of the group, you know? It's neat to see her kind of, you know, play around a little bit, but end of the day, she's not part of the posse.
Yeah. Man, I was such a huge fan of the show.
Yeah, because Kids in the Hall started on HBO, but it was just one of those. I mean, I discovered it on Comedy Central just growing up watching that station constantly in the 90s. And I think it's really phenomenal that there's no bad blood there. They're still doing stuff.
Oh, yeah. The group never disbanded. They just went off and pursued different projects and came back together a few times. They just did a tour not that long ago, as well as they've continued to do Kids in the Hall projects long after the show's been done. Like Death Comes to Town and Brain Candy came out after Kids in the Hall, the TV show, was over.
I haven't been able to find Death Comes to Town, and I'm so bummed about it. It's available in iTunes for Canada, and I've seen places where I could steal it, but I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, well, I might have some good news for you, because I think it's quite possible that Death Comes to Town, you will be able to buy it on CISO.
Oh, nice.
And CISO is one of those subscription streaming services similar to Hulu, but CISO specifically focuses on comedies. And so they are currently the license holder for Kids in the Hall. So you can watch every episode of Kids in the Hall, including shows like 30 Rock, Monty Python, The Office, Parks and Rec, some UCB sketches, Upright Citizens Brigade sketches. They have them posted there as well. So all of that is on CISO. So if you want to get into Kids in the Hall, then pay the $3.99 a month and binge.
That's all it is? It's $4 a month?
Yep. That's
it. Oh, dude, I'm getting it. You know, I'm going to admit something embarrassing. I've heard about CISO. I think they've advertised various places, podcasts I listen to and stuff, but I don't know how to spell it.
CISO, S-E-E-S-O.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I just confirmed it. Death Comes to Town, CISO. But we've jumped over like some of our favorite. What are some of your favorite Kids in the Hall sketches?
I got to say, I think my favorite sketches are, they always were taking shots at businessmen. Like, a businessman was a thing you could be in the 90s. So there was one where Bruce finds a businessman and takes it home and is like, Mom, can we keep it? That one's really great. I remember the first one I ever saw. We had like a college kid living with us when I was a kid, and I was in his room talking to him, and he was like a hip college kid watching Kids in the Hall on HBO, and it was that first special, and the first thing I saw was the head-crushing bit.
Right, yeah, crushing the yuppies' heads.
Yeah, and I remember watching that, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, and then years later, seeing it on Comedy Central, and like, oh, let's check this out. And writing with that. But I always love the monologues too. I'm Dave, and I've got a positive, I'm the guy with a positive attitude about menstruation. That's great.
My name's Dave Foley. And something you might not know about me is that I have a good attitude towards menstruation. That's right, I'm the guy with a good attitude towards menstruation. Oh, I know a lot of men are made uncomfortable by this monthly miracle, but not me. No? I embrace it. Embrace it the way some men embrace the weekend. Why, I anticipate it the way a child anticipates Christmas. Did you know that in a lot of native Indian cultures, menstruating women were forced to leave the village lest their powerful magic should overwhelm that of the shaman? If I were shaman, I wouldn't be so competitive. I'd be more open and giving. I'd be a shaman with a good attitude towards menstruation.
It's just so absurdist and wonderful, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Do you remember the one where he comes out and he's doing one of the monologues and says they found the cause of cancer? And it's Bruce McCullough.
I do have that one too. Should I play a little bit of that?
Yes.
Hi, my name is David Foley. And thank you very much. Thank you. That's very kind of you. It's very kind of you. I was just wanting to tell you about something that happened during this week of rehearsal, something that we sort of came across, something, well, that we sort of discovered. And certainly nothing that we ever expected to do as a comedy troupe, and I'm sure it's nothing that you as a comedy audience ever expected to hear from a comedy troupe, but, okay, here it is. We discovered the cause of cancer. The best thing to do here is just to bring Bruce out here. Bruce, are you there? Bruce McCullough, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce McCullough. Thanks. Bruce has something that he'd like to say to everyone. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hi.
Go on, Bruce.
Hi.
Just do it, Bruce. Come on.
Okay, you asked me.
Well, I would like
to. Yeah, it's fine.
We'll do it. Just go.
Dave Foley, ladies and gentlemen.
Just do it, Bruce. Just, you're wasting a lot of time. Bruce McCullough would like to say something. Bruce, please.
I'm sorry I caused all that cancer.
I love that he's like a parent in that. And it's just like Bruce, and Bruce is like, sorry about the cancer, guy. But it's brilliant because it's not like a cancer joke. It's just a stupid, absurdist joke that it just works. It works well. They all just seem like nice guys. And then Citizen Kane, that Citizen Kane bit with Kevin McDonald that's classic.
Oh, I saw a great movie last night. Yeah, it was on The Late Show. It was what was it called? It's a classic. It's a classic. Oh, I hate this. I hate it when this happens.
Well, what was it about?
It's about this newspaper tycoon, and he's dead, and everybody's telling stories about him, and
it's Citizen Kane.
No, that's not it. No, but it's something like that.
Okay, who was in it?
Orson Welles is in it. And
this is Citizen Kane. It's Citizen Kane.
No, that isn't it. That isn't it, but it's you're not far from it.
Well, but this is definitely Citizen Kane, then. You're talking about Citizen Kane.
No, but it's... It's something like that. It's
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, and that's what I like about Dave Foley, his line deliveries, he seems a humble, smart alecky guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for sure he and Kevin were the better performers.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, Bruce and Mark were the better writers.
Right, right.
And then Scott was this X factor.
Yeah. Have you seen the politically correct art class?
I don't know if I have.
It's a group of art students, and they're going to draw a nude woman, and they start getting upset because they're objectifying the women.
No, I don't think I've seen this.
Okay, hold on.
I took this class to learn how to sketch. Not to ogle some poor female nude.
Oh, well, this isn't about ogling. No, we're just going to observe line and shadow and form.
And we're going to use economic repression to once again exploit a woman's body.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's what we're doing here.
No?
No.
Excuse me. Sister, are you being paid?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Well, of course she's being paid. She's a professional artist model. I see no reason why we shouldn't use her.
Use her? You, sir? You know, I wish you could hear yourself, sir. Remember, language is a virus.
Sexism in any context is never appropriate. Yes. Hate crime, hate crime.
Not only that, it is also a racist construct. Yes. This woman represents the same white image of beauty that has oppressed women for centuries.
Hate crime, hate crime.
Where are the nude models of color?
The people of girth, the handicapable, the elderly.
The queer. Well, I'm sorry, it's just naked, fat, black, crippled dykes are hard to find.
Oh my God, man. People of Girth would be the best podcast title. I mean, this all rushed back to me the minute I heard Bruce with the hate crime, hate crime.
Yeah.
It just all came back to me.
That's a good one where everybody got involved. There are so many great Kids in the Hall sketches that you can go watch over on YouTube, and I think the Nerdist has great interviews with the kids today after every clip that they show.
Yeah, those are great, but you've really got to get into the full episodes to really catch some of the amazing ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's like a great primer. If you've never seen any Kids in the Hall, check out a few of the things on the Nerdist, and then go find a place to watch those episodes, whether it be CISO or whatever. But there's full episodes on YouTube as well that I recommend people get into.
One of the cool things about Dave Foley, he's in an awesome sketch comedy group that will go down in history. They've made their mark in comedy history.
Definitely.
He then goes on to an awesome network TV show after the Kids in the Hall end their run. They end the show. The guys, they don't break up. They just go separate ways to pursue other things of their interest. Dave Foley goes over to a TV show called News Radio. Man, and this show has Joe Rogan. It has Maura Tierney. It has...
We've got Phil Hartman for a while, and then...
God, yeah, we have Phil Hartman.
Stephen Root for a while.
Stephen Root.
Yeah, Stephen Root is tremendous in that.
Yeah. Oh, Stephen Root is tremendous in everything.
He really is.
Yeah. So we got that show. And that is an amazing watch, too. It lasted for 5 seasons on NBC. This show hits the ground running. From episode 1, it's good, all the way up till season 4. Season 4, during the off-season, they lost Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman passed away. And season 5, they replaced him with John Lovitz. And the show wasn't quite the same. But the show was always on shaky legs. I wouldn't say that's what killed the show, because NBC was always trying to kill the show.
It seems like it. Like, this show would make an interesting documentary.
Oh, that would be. Actually, there is an interesting interview where on the Joe Rogan Experience, Dave Foley came on, and they talked about how the head of scheduling was constantly trying, making he hated news radio, and so he would put them in the worst time slot ever. They said the show, in the 5 years it was on the air, it aired in 9 different time slots.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah, he just didn't like the show, and the guy kept moving the show, trying to kill it.
I revisited a couple of episodes of this in preparation for this show, yeah. And it holds up pretty well. The only thing that dates it is probably Rogan's sideburns a little bit.
That and the big-ass cell phone that Jimmy James carries around.
Yeah.
But Phil Hartman is great. Can we take a moment just to honor how great Phil Hartman was?
I love that guy. Love that guy.
You know, it was kind of weird for me when the show started, because Phil left Saturday Night Live, and I was so accustomed to seeing him play multiple characters believably. And so when he settled into this just one character, I kept waiting for him to break into someone else.
Yeah,
it took a while for me to get used to him playing Bill McNeil.
It was a bizarre transition. I think I probably, same thing. I followed him over there from SNL because I loved him on that. And one of my favorites is Bill Clinton.
Where he pretends to have Bill Clinton in the news booth to interview.
No, I was talking his SNL Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay. All right.
Where, you know, it's they're spoofing Bill Clinton used to jog to the local McDonald's in D.C. So he'd jog there, eat a Mc whatever, and then jog back to the White House.
Right. I remember that sketch.
the warlords, you know, as he's stuffing his face with people's burgers.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about the episode of News Radio where Bill McNeil plays the new one of the new on-air news talent, and he goes on this long run where he's pretending to interview Bill Clinton, and it's just him.
That's fantastic. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a great show. If you're a fan of shows like Cheers, Taxi, the ensemble cast, ensemble, The Office, ensemble cast comedies, this one, in my opinion, was, it's on the top 10 list of ensemble cast.
It's really good. Check out Kids in the Hall first. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, if you're into sort of the sitcom world, this one's, it's so chock full of jokes.
Yeah. Let's see, where should we go next, man? Because he had a weird period where he was just kind of not working or not in any high profile things. We talked about it before where he just guest starred on a lot of shows.
Yeah. And started, you know, I mean, shows that started on shows that ended up getting canceled, and just, he had like a slump almost, but I mean, he worked steadily through. It was just, there wasn't kid stuff. There wasn't, any movies really, like some VO work and Bug's Life and stuff. Did you ever see The Wrong Guy?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to watch that movie. It's phenomenal. It's so funny.
What's The Wrong Guy?
It's an early movie starring him. And let me see if I can get a better synopsis for it. But I didn't even know it existed. I grew up a Kids in the Hall fan, had no idea. And my wife was like, oh, you got to watch this movie. You'll love it. And it stars Dave Foley. After his boss is murdered, Nelson is on the run for fear of prosecution. He hides out in a small town to avoid the police, which should be easy because they know he didn't do it and they aren't looking for him. But he's just like this paranoid, freaked out dude. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. I love that. That I have to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, man. I think being a Kids in the Hall fan and a Dave Foley fan, you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, you know what's something else that he did in his in-between years? Have you seen his James Joyce love letters?
No, I haven't.
It's on Funny or Die. And they have actual love letters written by James Joyce. And they have
those are tremendous, right? Like, isn't he obsessed with farting?
Well, yeah, and other stuff. And they are tremendous. And Dave Foley reads one.
To Nora, 9th of December, 1909, Dublin. My sweet, naughty little fuckbird, here is another note to buy pretty drawers or stockings or garters. Buy horrors drawers, love, and be sure to sprinkle the legs of them with some nice scent and also discolor them just a little behind. You seem anxious to know how I received your letter, which you say is worse than mine. How is it worse than mine, love? Yes, it is worse in one part or two. I mean the part where you say what you will do with your tongue. I don't mean sucking me off. And in that lovely word you write, so big and underlined, you little blackguard. It is thrilling to hear that word and one or two others you have not written on a girl's lips. But I wish you spoke of yourself and not of me. Write me a long, long letter, full of that and other things, about yourself, darling. You know now how to give me a cockstand. Tell me the smallest things about yourself, so long as they are obscene and secret and filthy. Write nothing else. Let every sentence be full of dirty, immodest words and sounds. They are all lovely to hear and to see on paper, even, but the dirtiest are the most beautiful.
Good Lord.
I'm using cockstand from now on.
Yeah, that is a great word, but is he seriously asking her to like leave some shit stains in her underwear? Oh, dude.
I don't know, but I need to add cockstand and fuckbird into my vernacular.
Dude, fuckbird sounds like an amazing band. Oh man, cockstand is such a, like, I mean, James Joyce, you can definitely see the artistry there, right? An amazing writer.
Yeah, I don't know why someone hasn't taken fuckbird for the name of a vibrator.
Oh dude, the fuckbird, that would be amazing. It's just like the beak.
Either that or like a really like dirty version of Twitter.
Yes.
The fuck bird.
That's a good slang for like those porn accounts on Twitter.
Yes.
Just like, yeah, it's just some fuck bird.
Yeah.
Oh, that is perfect, dude. Dude, are there more of those?
There are more read by other celebrities.
I'm going to have to check out all of them because I remember at some point hearing a little bit about these.
Yeah.
I think maybe a Kevin Smith podcast.
They're awesome. Yeah,
that's him reading them and just reading them seriously is so great.
Yeah. Just go to Funny or Die, type in James Joyce, and they'll all come up. So, you know, and he's done other cool stuff. He was on Comedy Bang Bang. Some guest stars on Hot in Cleveland, The Middle, The Odd Couple. So he's worked, but he just hasn't had a series regular work until he got to Dr. Ken. And now he's on the TV show. I don't know if he's a series regular because I haven't watched the show.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out either. I think maybe he just sort of fell out of our view, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I haven't had TV in a while. I'm just like a streaming guy now, so I gotta wait till that hits a service. It's probably on CISO, right? I swear to God, this episode is not brought to you by CISO or Famous Dave's.
Or the fuckbird vibrator.
Yes. Oh, dude, that would be the weirdest podcast promotion, wouldn't it?
Man, Kevin Smith used to pitch the Fleshlight, so I don't know how weird it would be.
I don't know. That'd be amazing. Dave, this week is brought to you by the fuckbird.
Order now. Get another fuckbird free.
There'd have to be like the like smaller, the travel size one, like the fuckbird junior.
I was going to go with, and if you order within the next 30 seconds, you'll get a free extra order of jerky tits.
Yes. Oh, man, the products are going to be amazing.
Can you imagine what the Dave Podcast store is going to look like? What kind of products we're going to have in there to sell?
How great would that be, though? I mean, I can just imagine the packaging. It just comes in an egg, and you have to crack it.
Giant 16-inch egg.
This is unwieldy, like gigantic vibrator.
Now then again, it has to be small because bird implies tiny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not too tiny. You want a good solid 8, right?
Okay, here's what we do. It comes in 3 sizes: the sparrow, the pelican, and the ostrich.
Oh, that is perfect. Yes,
that's the whole fuck bird line right there.
Dude, this is actually, like, I'm getting excited about this idea.
Are you getting a cock stand?
Yes. I feel like the albatross should be a size, right?
Sure. Okay, I could do 4.
Maybe a waterproof model, you know?
All right.
Well, you know what we do? We make it the first his and hers sex toy, right? So the beak and head part is a vibrator for her, and then the back part we'll throw in like a Fleshlight part for him.
Now you're thinking, Johnson, get on that.
Dude, this is a really good idea. Oh boy, I hope Dave Foley doesn't listen to this.
Are you kidding me? Dave Foley is going to love this.
He's just like,
you think he hasn't made these jokes already to his buddies?
I just hope, like, for some reason, I imagine him having the ego enough to be like, well, they're talking all about me. I gotta tune into this. And then just as the minute we just stop talking about him, he's like, I'm out.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I wanted to wrap up our Dave Foley conversation. If we're done. Do you have more?
No, I do. I mean, I do want to say, I have a feeling he's one of those dudes where if you met him in person, he wouldn't let you down. Like, I'm sure he wouldn't be a giant dick.
Well, he's Canadian. He's going to be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine all of those guys are probably pretty sweet dudes. I haven't heard any bad stories about him. And you tend to hear that kind of stuff.
He is a super guy. And I did reach out to him on Twitter. And I'm going to check to see if he responded to me. 7 hours ago, I tweeted at Dave, we're recording an ep of our podcast where we're discussing you and the joy you've given us. Could you give us a Twitter quote? He did not respond.
What a dick.
Fuck Dave. Fuck that guy. No Kids in the Hall. Don't watch any of that bullshit. Don't subscribe to CISO.
We just spend the next 20 minutes undoing everything we said about it. It's like, you know what? Now that I think about it, you know, Kids in the Hall wasn't that great. How great would that be?
So let's close out Dave Foley. Buddy, we appreciate everything that you've done for us. On the slight off chance that you do hear this episode, thank you from myself and from Octopus Caveman, man. We've really enjoyed your work.
I'm super sorry if we said anything offensive on accident. This is going to plague me now that, like, he's going to respond to you with, like, a tweet and, like, yeah, here's my quote for, you know, like cram it, you fucking idiots. All I've got to say for a show, it would be amazing if he just fucking hated us and was, like, public about it, just, like, very vocal about how much he hated our show and how we talked about him.
Well, I mean, we don't want him to actually hate us because we use Bruce's song as our opener. So we actually don't really want to piss him off.
I mean, you know what, though? If we get like a cease and desist order, we got to roll with it. You got to push it until we get to the courtroom, because then we'll get to meet him.
All right. Should we bail on the Dave of the Week?
Yeah, we could do a Dave off next time. We'll just put it off.
That's good, because I couldn't find a good Twitter Dave.
Bart fart. That guy still cracks me up.
Yeah. All right. So in this case, we're just going to ask you to keep following. What was his Twitter handle? Bart fart.
718. You know what? Go follow Dave Foley.
Nah, he doesn't need anyone to follow. What's the point? He doesn't respond to your tweets.
We'll just slam him for 10 minutes.
You know who does need your love? We're trying to bring Bart Fart 718 back. He stopped tweeting because no one replied to him. So we want to bring him back. So please, for a second week, continue to follow, like, and retweet Bart Fart 718.
And I mean, if you know him in person, tell him that, you know, he's got some juice now. We're trying to push people his way. Come back to Twitter, Bart Fart.
he's got some fans, so let him know. Okay. All right, man. Thanks again for hanging out.
So who do you want to do next week?
I got one that I'd like to do, and I'm trying to pick ones that are going to be somewhat easy lifting. What do you think about David Tennant?
Yeah, I'm in.
Doctor Who, Broadchurch.
And the British.
No, Broadchurch is the British version. Grace Point was the American version of the same show, and he starred in it. And can't forget his little turn in Harry Potter and Jessica Jones, David Tennant, you know him, you love him.
He was in Harry Potter?
Yeah, he played, I think, Barty Crouch Jr.
Man, I know so little about it. I saw, like, the first one, and that was it.
Oh, now you go adult on me.
I enjoyed the first one, but it was just not one of those things where I didn't get too sucked into it. I saw, like, the first and, like, the fourth. What's the one where that vampire dies?
That's Twilight.
You're right, but no. The guy who was the Twilight vampire was in Harry Potter, right? And there's one where he died. I saw the one after that one.
Oh, Cedric Diggory died in episode 6. No, he died in the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, it was like that 3 or 4, something around there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend to be a huge Harry Potter fan. I've watched the movies, but at a certain point, it just be the completionist in me just said, all right, you've seen 4 of them. Come on, how many more are there? Okay, there's 7. You could power through 3 more. And then they split 7 into 2 parts, and I had to power through 4 more.
Dude, that's like when you're hate-watching Smokey and the Bandit 3 just so you can get through it. Just say you did it all.
There are some things where you have to just finish. Like, you go so far. You can't run 3/4 of a marathon and just go, okay, I'm done.
I totally can. I'm so fine with that. I mean, I agreed to go see, I think, the 4th movie in a series, having only seen the first. Just like, yeah, it's a movie. I'll enjoy it. I'll eat a hot dog.
That's well, Haven't seen a Twilight. Haven't seen any of those.
I saw a couple of Twilights. And I don't... I think I've seen the first one now, but I saw them out of order. I saw, like, the second one in theaters. And I just went home, Googled what happened in the books, and I was good in my head. I didn't need to care anymore. It was like, yeah, I know what happens. I'm fine.
You know, I hear that if you run Twilight backwards at 2x speed and play Dark Side of the Moon...
Oh, dude.
You get a headache. It's just what I've heard.
Everybody try that. Somebody try that, please.
Someone walks into someone watching Twilight. There's the little two with the two arrows going backwards. And they're listening, they got headphones on. What are you doing?
Dave told me to do it.
You know, that's a new segment we have to start. Dave told me to. And then send people out to do stuff. That's this week's homework assignment. Watch Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 backwards and listen to Dark Side of the Moon. All right. What the hell are we talking about? Let's get out of here.
This is that good lack of sleep, like, craziness laughter.
Oh, for sure. This is no sleep for 3 days in Vegas kind of talk.
Oh, man. I hope this is good.
Don't hold your breath. we got to close it out. You want to do the honors?
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the Daves of our lives.
Have a good week.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.